I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Down by six, final play of the game. Stafford empty out of the gun. He's got it back. Looks, pumps one, steps up, looks, throws, and
yes!
Cook!
Yes!
Gets down Detroit Lions! TJ Hawkins,
yes!
They did it! They tied it! They're an extra point away from winning this game! Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yes!
How big is that? Matthew Stafford, magic!
Victory!
He tries to go up and up. Oh, the Lions have got it. They took it away. Oh, how big is that? He's got it. Looks, throws deep middle. He's caught. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, Kenny Golladay, that's outstanding. That is outstanding.
Yo. What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 135 on the Blue Wire Network. Today's episode is going to be sponsored by Indeed.com. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Malcolm and Pierre. How are you boys doing on this? Uh-oh, he's winding up. How are you doing on this nice Monday evening?
Woo! I'm hyped! Let's go! Yes! That was a little bit too much. I know it's a little bit too much.
What exactly
but I'm hyped.
About?
What exactly no, that's not too much, man. You have the right to be hyped.
Man, that game is up there with the 2013 Cowboys game. The way my heart was feeling.
The Lions.
Oh, you damn right! I'm talking about the Lions, man. Yes, that's why I'm hyped, man. Yo, that game is up there. That's probably like the second best Lions game ever I've seen.
Ooh,
this is up there with the 2013 Cowboys game to me.
It's up
to me. To me, just the way because the game was pretty much over. Like I was sitting on the couch thinking, "Fuck, man, now we're 2-4. Like, god damn it, like everybody's gonna be saying, oh, goddamn, screw Detroit. Like, I'm just getting ready for it. And then out of nowhere, your boy goes on the field. Your boy, Tyler.
That's your boy. You have him in fantasy.
No, I'm talking about Tyler's boy. Tyler's boy, the owner for
Arthur Blank.
Oh. That motherfucking stuff's on the field. And everything just goes backwards. Everything just went downhill from there.
Dude, I don't know if our listeners know this. Like, I watch a lot of NFL Red Zone, like, when the Lions aren't on. So I'm always on Red Zone because I love Red Zone because, you know, I love fantasy football and I just love watching football in general. I love to watch every single game. So Red Zone's always my go-to. So when the Lions are on, are not playing or their game is finished, I usually immediately flip it to Red Zone. Dude, every time I watch the Atlanta Falcons, because their game always just extends longer than the Lions, because the Lions games are, I don't know why they're shorter. Falcons just play long games, so their games are always extended. So I always get to like catch the last 3 to 2 minutes of the Atlanta Falcons game. I watched the Cowboys game this year. Arthur Blank on the field in Dallas. I'm like, dude, they're going to lose this game. And like, there's going to be some crazy shit. It's going to happen. There's going to be like an onside kick. They're going to recover. And little do you know, they actually recovered the onside kick. Dude, I can't confirm this one, but I believe he was on the field when they played the Bears, too. When they played the Bears, I believe he went on the field.
He came down.
They lost that game. And then the most notable one he was on the field was the Super Bowl in 2016 when they played the Patriots and they blew the 28-3 lead. That motherfucker's on the field again.
And then this.
Dude, he's in the booth the whole game. His team plays well. Like, they're about to win the game. Every time this guy steps on the field, they lose the game. I mean, I don't know the stat or what it is, but whatever it is, man, it's bad. I saw the Fox, they queued on Arthur Blank on the field. I'm like, dude, I think we can win this game. we had no you know, favors at all. We had a 4% chance of winning this game. I mean, it was over. It was over. And I saw Arthur Blank. I'm like, dude, can we win this game? Is Atlanta going to pull something?
Oh, man. Pierre.
Yeah.
Pierre, how you doing, man? Are you as hyped as me right now? Are you as hyped as me right now? I'm almost in tears, man.
Bro, like yesterday I lost my voice. I mean, it came back. I lost it for like a little, but I was screaming. Like, I was so hyped. I was like lost in the moment. Tyler was like, they threw a flag. I was like, I didn't even see the flag. I was like just lost in the moment, going crazy. And then Prater ended up kicking a long-ass field goal or whatever. Yeah. I was just shook, to be honest. I don't know what to do. I was shook. Once we had a minute left, what was it? A minute five, minute six, something like that. Once we had that left and it's Stafford, I'm like, Stafford is gonna win this game. Like, I knew in my mind, like, we're winning this game. I don't care. We're winning this game.
Where do you rank this? Where do you rank this game, like, in your book?
Okay, it's up there with the Dallas, the Cleveland, the Saints one. The Saints one, because my brother's a Saints fan. For those that don't know, we were at Ford Field. Everyone clowned on him. It was hilarious.
What about the last time we played? Not the last time. The time before we played the Falcons in London. That's like my favorite game of all time. But I mean,
that's your favorite game.
My favorite game of all time is a Dallas game. That's
mine too.
But this is like this Atlanta game is top five for sure. I don't know exactly where it ranks, but it's like top five.
What a game!
Is it just me, or does it seem like a minute since we've had like a nice comeback win? Like, you know, Stafford is obviously known for the comeback ability in the fourth quarter, but like, I don't know, man. I just feel like we haven't seen this in forever. I mean, the last time we've seen this is like in the Caldwell era. Like, it was. Patricia era, we haven't really seen these comeback wins. I mean, we've had the opportunities to come back, but like, I feel like we just always come up short recently. I don't know what it is, but like, this felt like a vintage 2016, 2014, 17-ish Lions game, if that makes sense.
Dagger time.
Yeah, dagger time came into full effect both times, to end the first half and to end the game, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, we had a chance to close one out, you know, the first game of the season.
That's what I'm saying. It felt like we've had opportunities to do it, but it always seemed like we were coming up short. If it was like a drop pass or, you know, like the Arizona game last year. I mean, we had a bunch of times to end that game. We just haven't had that opportunity in forever, it seems like, to end the game. But
what a great feeling.
That brought back so many memories just watching, you know, that last minute in that game. But shout out to Todd Gurley, man.
Don't do that to him right now. That man.
Real MVP.
Dude, I posted that.
I feel bad for him. I mean, I posted it, but I'm not thinking that I feel bad. But now I kind of feel bad for him. Oh, my God. He's getting it right now.
Good.
Can you imagine if this is the other way around? If this is like Adrian Peterson scored or something like that?
Oh, shit. No, they wouldn't let Adrian Peterson back in Detroit.
That's what I'm saying. Can you imagine if this is the other way around?
You know, like when Swift dropped in week one, fans were like calling him, oh, he sucks. He's an ex-Ebron, blah, blah, blah. He dropped him. Like, yo, you guys need to chill. This kid's special. And then
those same guys are now they're asking for more.
Then now they're asking like, yo, take AP off the field. Put Swift in. He's a dog.
Yeah, that's like, I mean,
he's a young player, bro. When you're young, you'll make mistakes. You're a rookie. There's a lot going through your head. You know, you do stupid shit and then you just got to bounce back. And he has. All right. So me and Tyler and Glover Quinnes, we talked about adjusting the defense, right? Playing not a lot of man, bringing some blitzes, disguising coverages, some zones. And I just want to bring up something. Weeks one, week two, Lions played over 80% man. Week six, 39% man. Week seven, 50% man. So you have to give credit where credit's due. And I'm going to give credit to Patricia. I'm not a Patricia fan, as you guys know. But they stopped the run, which was a big concern for us. They've held two really good passing offenses in check. Jags had a good passing attack. They were number 10 in passing offense when we played them, and Atlanta, I believe, was number 2 or 3. Yeah. So you just have to give Patricia credit. He went to the bye week. They're like, you know what? Let's make this easier. Let's simplify this defense. Let's play more zone, less man. Let's bring in Penasini and Shelton Moore in early downs. Let's be bigger to stop the run. Then they stop the run, and you see what it's done. When they stop the run, they're blitzing more. They're getting creative. They're not really getting burned. You know, they were getting burned week one, week two, week three. They're not really getting burned anymore. The guys are there to make the tackle. It's nice to see. So credit to Patricia and Unlin and that entire defensive staff.
And
so,
and against, you didn't mention it, against a really, 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 really good offensive line. Atlanta Falcons have a really good offensive line, and they were able to do that. You know, they were able to apply pressure. They were able to stop the run. Very, 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 very impressive. This is the defense that I've been waiting for Patricia this, since the offseason. This is what I thought it could be. And they're showing it right now. So I'm hyped.
Yeah, I want to offer this question now. So, you know, we had a tough time, at least I did, game planning defensively against the Atlanta Falcons. The Lions, I thought, did a good job defensively against the Atlanta Falcons. I'll call it something besides the last drive, but we'll talk about that later. But overall, I thought the game plan was very good, very creative. It was different. You saw a lot of zone. You saw a lot of man. It was exactly 50-50. So what did you guys think of the defensive game plan?
I thought it was perfect. Right. And what I noticed, and if they do this often, you're not going to run on them. Mm-hmm. They ran a lot of 3-4 in the early downs. So they had up front, they had Pennacini, Nick Williams, Danny Shelton. Those are their linemen.
Yeah, Shelton on the edge sometimes. Yeah.
And then their edge rushers, their linebackers on the edge, they had Raglan and they had Jones. The front, and then they had as a linebacker, they had Tavai and they had Collins. Yeah, Collins. And they did that a lot on early downs. And that's a big ass front.
It is.
That front is huge. And yeah, you're not running in the gaps between that front. I mean, you better have a lot of, you better bring a lot of speed. Unless you have a lot of speed and you can get to the edge quicker than those guys, you're not running in the gaps with that front.
Yeah. That's a good observation. And remember, that's something I said that we might have to rely on this game, because I don't think we could blitz against this team. And you didn't see that many blitzes versus the Falcons. You didn't. You know, you saw a lot of just relying on coverage, sending four, maybe sending five. I believe it was mainly four that we sent. You know, we didn't send five, or we didn't blitz very often. I don't recall. I remember
they did a few times. They did a few times on thirds, on third downs.
Yeah,
they did a few blitzes.
Yeah, so sometimes with Tracy Walker or something like that. But it was majority just a four-man rush.
Yeah, majority of four-man rush.
That's what I expected. I mean, they had to go on coverage because you had to stop this pass. And I said that's something we're going to have to kind of rely on. We're going to have to rely on this front to stop the run itself, because I don't think we could send as much pressure, because you give Matt Ryan a blitz, he's going to pick it up usually. You know, he's too smart of a quarterback to not pick up a blitz. So I did like the game plan. I liked not sending as many blitzes as he did like in Jacksonville, and I thought it was smart. You know, usually we advocate for more blitzes because Patricia never does any blitzes at all. But this was actually kind of a game plan. I didn't want to see the Lions blitz all that much. So I enjoyed that this week, just relying on the four. And kudos to the four, man.
They did a really good job.
Okay. Very good job. Todd Gurley gave him a shout-out.
This is the audio. Let's just play the audio real quick on that. This is the audio. Wait, what he thought... What he thought of our front seven on our unit. Let's just hit the audio real quick.
What do you think the Lions did so well to hold you guys only 66 rushing yards?
Whew, some big boys. Some big boys up front. Their front seven, they did a hell of a job. Had to work for all 66 yards. I'm not going to lie about that. So I'm feeling it too, so. Hats off to those guys, you know. They just did an incredible job.
And there you go. You guys heard Todd Gurley for himself said it. He just basically said what I just said. So
that front is sick, man.
Yeah, no, it surprised me. I didn't expect that going into the year. I didn't expect that going into this game. I mean, I didn't think this front was good. I didn't. They're playing a lot better than I expected, straight up. And I can admit when I'm wrong. They're playing a lot better than I expected. Danny Shelton's been a lot better since, you know, we first picked him up. Like you mentioned, Pennacini's been good. Reggie Raglan. He's just been a sneaky pickup, dude. I mean, he was like a later March pickup in free agency. He's been good. I mean, he's getting more snaps. He's getting an increased role in the defense, and he's been good. Jamie Collins, I love that signing. He's been really good.
Yeah,
I mean,
really good.
Christian Jones. Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot about Christian Jones. Christian Jones is kind of playing out of his ass right now. Where the hell did this come from?
He's been playing some solid football. Yeah, he has.
This is all part of the plan when we re-signed him. We're going to turn up now. He was like, all right, we're going to turn up now.
And then Romeo Quara. Where was Romeo Cora last year? Romeo Cora, I forgot he existed sometimes.
He's having a breakout year. He's in contract year too.
I told you, I felt like he was our best pass rusher. And I said that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the way he's applying pressure to these quarterbacks, he's doing a really good job. He actually should have had more sacks.
Yeah.
Than he has now.
The Lions need to learn how to rack tackle. That's one thing, man. They need to finish these sacks, dude. I mean, they'll get to the quarterback, and then you know, Minshew, he didn't take advantage of it. Like he would be disturbed, he'd throw the ball away, or throw some stupid pass. Matt Ryan's too much of a veteran quarterback to do something stupid. He'll break the tackle, and then he'll find a receiver. And we saw it. He went out and hit his running back, and ended up being like a good 9-yard gain to maybe get a first down or whatever. I mean, the Lions need to wrap up on these tackles. These tackles, I mean, that's one thing, you know, that's coming a problem now is wrapping on the tackles from the front four. Secondary has been wrapping tackles like crazy, and that's our man Jeff Okuda, man. He's been wrapping tackles really well.
I got to say this. Let me just take a moment real quick, man. Sunday was the best performance I've seen of Jeff Okuda all year.
Yeah, he was solid,
man. The best performance. And I say that with that interception game and everything, this is the first time where I haven't seen him really get beat. Usually when we're watching Jeff Okuda, like there's a game that you're like, oh shit, he got beat.
Yeah.
Even like the plays that the receivers caught the ball, he was there, quickly made a tackle, pow, you know, made a play, celebrated a few times. So this is the first time that, you know, I seen the flashes. So I'm excited, man. Now I'm excited.
The only thing that pissed me off, and he's going to learn this, obviously, was he had Kelvin Ridley in that boundary, in that red zone play.
Yeah,
and he shoved him. I mean, like, you can't do that.
I'm going to be honest, though. They were both fighting. I didn't think it was a flag. That's just me, though.
At first, he was doing everything perfect. He played it perfectly.
And the ball wasn't catchable. Let's be honest. The ball was, like, thrown over Ridley's head.
I know,
you can't push.
It was that last shove, like, right where he got to, like, the goal line. It was that last shove that called it. But before that last shove, like if you even do that last shove, that play would have stand a little bit
it
good.
It wasn't needed at all. You just got to rely on the
receiver. The receiver wasn't even going to get the ball.
He was so close to out of bounds too anyways. He played the boundaries perfect. You just got to rely on them. I don't know what it was.
The thing is with him, like he's gone against Hopkins, Kirk,
Devontae Adams.
Fitzgerald, right? Devontae Adams. Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. I'm probably missing some other guys. I don't even. Emmanuel Sanders, whatever.
Jags receivers.
Yeah. So he's been through a lot already. He's learning on the fly and he's been against the top guys. So he's only going to get better and better and better. Yeah. Like these, with the place he gets beat, that's how you learn, you know? Go back to the drawing board, fix it, don't do it again. He needs to trust his technique better. You could tell, like, he's thinking a little, which is normal for a rookie. Every rookie does that. He just needs to go out and play instead of thinking, because he's always with this guy almost a lot of the time.
Yeah.
He just, like, he needs to. Just trust his technique.
Trust his instincts. That's what you need to do. Trust his instincts. But
exactly.
he'll get there. I'm not too worried about it. I like the flashes, that I've seen from him. So that's a plus.
Best tackle on the team, in my opinion, is Jeff Okuda.
Yeah, he probably is. I mean, what's it called? A warrior tackles well too. Not better than Jeff though.
Yeah, he's
okay. He's like missed some tackles, but I've seen him. He does. He's all right.
He missed tackled against like those speedy guys. Like you put him against like a little speedy, shifty guy,
like a Ridley.
Yeah, but man, I mean, I'm loving what I'm seeing from this defense, and this is a defense that I see. If they keep trending in the right direction, I mean, I know we're taking it game by game, but I like our chances against the schedule and this defense. But let's just talk about some things that we probably didn't like too much.
I was gonna say one thing. I was just gonna say that we have to talk about one thing, and this. Should have cost us the game, honestly. It honestly should have cost us the game. We'll get into the offense after the break.
No. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm just saying. We'll do that after. I want to talk about this first, and then we'll do the break.
Yeah,
so,
go ahead.
So the circumstances, you're only up by 2 points. Prater hits the field goal to give you the 2-point lead. I'm not going to lie. I hated the defensive play calling at the end. The last drive for the Atlanta Falcons on offense was disgusting to me.
So dumb. He was picking this apart.
They're playing like a prevent soft.
They're playing
box.
Soft zone. Just soft zone.
Soft zone. That's not soft box.
You
soft
don't
zone.
Do that when you're like down. When you're up
only
two
up by
points.
Two. Only up two versus a veteran quarterback on the road.
Great receivers.
I mean, you had three timeouts, but still, I mean, all they needed was a field goal. That's all they needed, and they were like just giving him free yards for no reason. Like I didn't understand the philosophy under it. I mean, that's honestly where you want to see the man coverage come in. You know, just trust your corners, trust your DBs at that point, and then trust your front to, you know, hopefully apply pressure. But instead, man, they were running the soft zone, letting, you know, Atlanta get whatever they wanted. And in the earlier part of the game, it makes sense, you know, do your bend, don't break, whatever. But when it comes down to the last drive, you're only up by 2 points. You can't do that stuff.
No, you can't.
You got that, right?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. That wasn't smart. And yeah, you're right. That damn near cost us the game because they just walked through that. They just marched down the field with that defense, and they're like, "Oh, okay, you gonna play soft? Okay, we're gonna." Exactly. We're gonna have a guy sit in between the zone, find a little cushion spot, and we're just gonna hit him.
Yeah, you just don't do that.
yeah, it was bad, and it almost cost us a game. Thank God it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it all game. You could do it all game. That's fine, because that's what was working for them all game. Because they were going by that bend don't break, and that's fine when you're playing the Atlanta Falcons, because the Atlanta Falcons are gonna get yards on you no matter what defensive scheme you're running, whatever.
Yeah,
but when it's the end of the game, you have to tighten up. You just got to rely on your corners, and that's when you want to play man coverage a little bit. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's what even the announcer said. I think it was Greg Jennings or Brock Heward. He's like, this is where Patricia should go to his bread and butter. Go to the man coverage.
Yeah, I would have personally played like two high, so man coverage, and then have two safeties up high.
Well, yeah.
So two man,
basically. Yeah, that's what I like because it's obviously best situation. Why nothing get over your head? And you're playing man. So if your guy gets BF safety deep, and yeah, so, but.
But Will Harris saved the game by making it seem like he was trying to tackle Todd Gurley. I mean, I don't know who to think. Will Harris, Todd Gurley.
It was a mixture of both, man. Because I said this, and I was telling Pierre, I was like, yo, Pierre, when I watched it, I'm telling you, if Will Harris did not do that, if Will Harris just moved out the way and let him go, he would have stopped.
Yeah, you were right. I looked at it again and again and again and again. Yeah. I looked at it probably like 20 times.
Yeah, because if it wasn't for Will Harris saved the day because Will Harris attempted to tackle him, but then let him go. And then his momentum made him go into the end zone, even though he was trying to stop. Dude, so, I mean, God damn, Will Harris saved the day.
You know what Atlanta should have done, right? They should have just taken a knee or they should have just like slid like Gurley just runs the side where they want their pick, just try and call time out.
What was the offensive thinking there? Like, Todd Gurley, you're a veteran back. Like, I saw this the day before. I told Pierre to tune into this game. Malcolm, you were doing something on Saturday night. It was Saturday night, and I'm watching college football. I'm like, Pierre, turn on Fox Sports 1. Watch the Penn State and Indiana game. The same exact thing happened. College football, whatever. That's a different story. When you're Todd Gurley doing that, because Todd Gurley actually beat us in a game like that one time in 2018.
He did it multiple times. He did this tons of times. He knows. But it was just his momentum. I don't know why he was trying to break the tackle in the first place.
Forward? He already had the first down. It's not like it was like third and one or third and inches.
I don't know why he was trying to break the tackle anyways. But, yeah. I don't want to put all the blame on him because whoever told them to run the ball. When Detroit, were they out of timeouts or did they only have one timeout left?
They were out. Zero timeouts. First and goal.
Why did they just kneel the ball and get the kicker in the position to just kick the field goal?
That's a good question.
Is that from Matt Ryan too? Because Matt Ryan needs to make that call, dude, too. You're a veteran quarterback too. Like,
what can he do? He going to say, no.
Say, let me run this ball. You just slide down. That's the game.
Like, you trust Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley's a veteran. He's like, it's on Gurley, to be
honest.
There's
no trusting anybody. I mean, that's the...
What about the OC? Come on, that had to be on the OC. I mean, I know the OC is mad as hell because I know he's looking at this game and is like, fuck, why didn't I have him kneel the ball?
Yeah, I mean...
Or, like, you just look at Gurley, like, why just stopped?
Dude, you guys know damn well Stafford would be like, we're not running this damn ball right now. And if we are, he would take in his own matter and say, I'll slide down and get to where Prater needs to be. And that's it. Game's over. I'll run the clock down. 3 seconds, call my last time out. They're going to send out young Koku, and he's going to kick the game-winning field goal. That's it.
Yeah, I want to bring up something. We talked about limiting Julio and Ridley, right?
Yeah.
Neither of them had over 100 yards. Julio was at 97. Mm. Ridley was at 69. That was nice. Gage got hurt, but when he came back, he kind of killed us 54 yards. And Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst also. Hayden Hurst was a matchup nightmare for us. They tried everything on him. They tried think they tried Kurz, they tried Walker.
And they kind of abandoned him.
Caden Hurst just kind of, I mean, we couldn't stop nothing with him. But just shout out to, like, the secondary, you know? I mean, Matt Ryan threw for 338 yards, but it doesn't look like he threw for that much. Like, I thought Detroit's secondary was solid.
I mean
you got to remember, Atlanta was driving all game. I mean, they had some long drives. I told you, Detroit was going that bend-don't-break strategy. And it wasn't a bad strategy when you're playing Atlanta, just because they're going to kill you regardless some way. So,
yeah.
I mean, as long as you don't get killed in the end zone, that's all that really matters, I guess.
And they held them to 22 points. That's huge. Like, yeah, you could give up a shitload of yards, but 22 points? That's all that counts in today's the points you give up, right?
I mean, this is the way I'm looking at it. Matt Ryan threw the ball 42 times. I mean, that's a high amount for a quarterback. And a lot of those passes were dink and dunks. He wasn't throwing the ball downfield as we thought he would.
Yeah, they're soft zones. That's why
I told you guys. You guys saying he loves taking the deep. I'm like, Matt Ryan will take these short passes. Yeah, he's a veteran quarterback. He's not greedy.
Yeah. You're so right. He did a lot of dink and dunk. And I mean, for us to hold Todd Gurley to 2.7 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Coming in, it was like 4-something, right? He was averaging about 4.3 or 4.4.
I mean, he had 23 attempts for 63 yards. I mean, that's football. That's what I'm talking about, man.
Not saying that it doesn't matter, but until the last drive, he wasn't getting shit.
He was a non-factor. And it was a point that we actually made him one-dimensional.
He was getting some nice pop towards the end when they were icing the game. Well, they should have iced the game. I mean, other than that, we held them in check.
There was a play where Detroit had a timeout left. It was like third and something. Someone destroyed the play. He just missed the tackle. I forgot who it was. You know, like he whiffed on the tackle.
I don't remember who it was. It might have been Shelton or Pennicini, but I'm not.
It was Shelton. We pretty much had the sack.
Yeah,
Shelton's so big and slow. It's so fucking funny. It's so funny watching it slow.
No,
watching
I'm talking it, about the third down Gurley run. Someone missed the tackle.
You're talking about something completely different. This was almost sack.
I saw the almost sack. He just missed it.
Yeah.
And I watched it in slow motion just to get a laugh out of it, and it was so funny.
That was a tackle where they need to wrap up on tackles because Matt Ryan just escaped that and flipped. Yeah. So I believe Ryan Hill only got a couple yards.
Right.
Oh, man. So,
but let's go. Guys, want to take a quick commercial break, then we'll break down this offense.
Yep.
All right.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides you powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely results in hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed's going to give you the important hire you need. Just like they have over the 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best available offer anywhere. Go right now. Go to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Football is back in full swing. You might not be in a game this year, but you can still be in on all the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going an extra mile to make sure you get every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to teams, players, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonus today and start wagering on wins, divisions, and championship features all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all their great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget, use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BlueWire, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, guys, we are back. And now we talked about this is weird. Usually it's the other way around. We're very low excited on the defense and yeah, very excited about the offense. But I'm not going to lie, I wasn't very excited about the offense till the last drive.
Not so much.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, just me, man. I thought the play calling was just garbage. AP seeing the field a lot still is just not ideal.
Something about AP.
Yeah, all you. Yeah, all you.
When AP comes on the field, you're one-dimensional. Right? He had 19 snaps, right? 11 carries out of those 19 snaps and only one target in the passing game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, pretty much the probability is Detroit is going to run the ball. And defenses know that. We know that. We know that. My baby cousin probably knows that. He doesn't know nothing about football. Like, everyone knows is what I'm trying to say. So, yeah, they just, I mean, and then you come in. Also, when you have AP out there and you only have, like, tight ends and, like, extra offensive linemen and Kenny Galladay's on the bench, you know it's a damn run. You're not going to fool anyone.
Yeah. It's right? Like only Marvin Jones, their best run blocker.
Kabinda playing only 8 snaps. It's kind of stupid, too, right? You got AP in there. Kabinda is not in there. Only playing, like, 8 snaps, right? What was it? 8?
Oh, that drove me crazy. That on the fourth and short, or the third and short.
With the one.
Why the hell is Kabinda not in there?
And they also, okay, so that one play in the red zone where they didn't get it was a 4th-and-1. So they put Marvin Jones on a jet kind of to confuse the edge, and the edge did not fall
it was a fake jet sweep.
Yeah, the edge did not fall for it. They didn't block the edge on purpose. No one blocked him on purpose. They thought like he would run after Marvin, and that was the stupidest design I ever seen in my life.
It's just trying to think too. He thinks too hard. It is fucking bevel.
And
this is fucking bevel, man. He thinks too hard, man. Just put your big lineup up there. Play goal line. Get your big guys up front. Get Kabinda in there and just run it through the goddamn. It's not hard. Why do you make it harder than it is?
Or you could have passed the ball.
We talked about Atlanta's edges. They're not good at stopping the run. But Bevel just ran it up the A-gap for most of it. I didn't see that many outside runs.
With Grady Jarrett.
I don't know the exact numbers, but Bevel ran it through the A and B gaps a lot more than they attacked the edges. They did not attack the edges that much. I don't remember the exact numbers, but and Swift is more explosive. Swift's great tackles, nothing against AP. He's 37, first ballot Hall of Famer, good for him,
you're
whatever.
You're making him older than he is. I think he's 35, right? He's not 37.
My bad, he's 35, whatever.
This man made him sound old as dirt.
What did he say, 37?
He can't break tackles, okay? Like, yeah, he's fine, but, like, give Kerryon some snaps. Let Kerryon run the ball.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. This might sound crazy. I'd rather have Scarborough running up the A gap than having Adrian Peterson running up the A gap. That's just my opinion.
I don't think AP's bad. I don't think he's bad. I don't like the role he has right now. He's just taking too many snaps. I don't think he's bad.
I don't think he's bad either, but like he comes in, defense knows what you're doing. That's why his numbers are bad. And like it's on play calling.
He's not
like,
bad.
Bevel is not putting him in situations where the offense succeeds. Like you had all these trash corners. Why are we running the ball? Run, pass, putting the offense in 3rd and 10, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7. Why don't you attack these corners? These corners were off.
Galladay was physical as hell versus these corners too. It didn't care.
And then
you know he can't separate, but he said, I'm gonna catch this 50-50 ball. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, pay him his money, bro. Just pay him.
Dude, yeah, I told you guys, I'm done overthinking this. Man.
Pay him.
Just pay the man.
Do we guys start a GoFundMe?
Back up the Brinks truck.
I'm broke right now. I'm a college student.
You're broke. So I'm saying, like, we can start GoFundMe, you know, put a dollar here, a dollar there, you know, start it up. Hopefully, you know, we can add it to Detroit's money so we could bring them in.
No, and then I want to bring up something else. You saw the 2-minute offense before the half ended, Stafford, like, how they were clicking. Like, play more up-tempo. Why are they going slow? They want to play slow. They should play up-tempo. We saw how good they are up-tempo. Both of the 2-minute offenses, they were both really good. They got points. They got 10 points out of it. The second half, before the second half, and obviously the last drive where Stafford just was magical. Yeah, I mean,
I get you, but I mean, this is what I said going into the game, and I don't disagree with it, but I actually wanted a slower-paced game. I didn't want the Falcons offense on the field that often. So I was okay with
it. In general, they haven't done it this year. Okay. Play with more up-tempo.
I agree. I'm just saying this week, personally, I think it is what it is. I think you just didn't want to see the Atlanta Falcons offense on the field as much as you can limit them. It's just a scary offense.
But they're turning Stafford into a game manager, and he's not that. We're not seeing the deep ball as much. We're not seeing creativity that much at all. we're just not seeing a lot of like juice with the wide receivers. I don't know how to say it. We're not seeing like,
it's very bland.
It's very basic. You know what's coming basically most of the time. I mean, Hockenson, he only had 5 catches, 59 yards, and like the last 2 drives, he had 2 of those, right? He only had 3 receptions. That's not acceptable. Yeah, they just need to be better. And then also, Kerryon needs to get some carries. 0 carries, right? Then when you come in, basically teams are going to know it's a pass. Like, you're becoming predictable with AP and KJ. When Swift is in there, you're multi-dimensional. You could pass it, you could run it, you could do whatever you want. When those guys are in there, teams most likely know, hey, they're about to pass the ball. Hey, they're about to run the ball.
Yeah, I think that's a major problem right now.
That's a big, bro. We need to call it out. Like a corner or a safety on the field or a veteran linebacker, they see that. Yo, watch the pass. Yo, watch the run, depending on the personnel. Yeah. It's very easy to tell. We could tell these guys are pros. They know it right away.
And what I noticed is I don't really have a problem with the first down runs, because even last week, you know, Adrian Peterson got some good yards in the first down runs.
Even this game.
It was this game, yeah. He got pretty good. Like, he'll run, like, a first down, he'll probably get 7 yards.
Yeah.
It's the second down plays that's bothering me, because second down, when I notice, it's probably, like, I don't know the exact percentage, but I guarantee it's in the high 80s that they run the ball on second down.
It's run pass for most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But the thing is, if you're going to run on first down, don't run Adrian Peterson right back in the A-gap. Like, come on. Like, they're waiting for it.
Call it play action, you know? Like, come in second down, have AP in there, call a play action, or have, like...
Or just take a quick, you know, to your flat route, to their tight end or something like that.
Throw a screen, throw a slant, throw something. Get yards. I mean, do a play that you know you're going to get 2, 3, maybe 4, 5 yards, you know? Try to get a first down. Try to get a first down. But the thing is, if you already ran the ball first down, you got 7 yards. Worst case scenario, if you get an incomplete, it's going to be 3rd and 3. Who cares? You can do whatever you want at that point. But it's like they're waiting for him. They're waiting for AP. The defense waiting for AP to run the ball second down and run right through the gaps. He's not going to run it outside. They know he's not going to run it outside.
No, he's not.
So it's just plays like that he need to fix. I mean, hopefully they fix it. I mean, they have to see the shit, though, right? I mean, if we're seeing it. They have to. I mean, they're coaches. They should see all this.
This is just like the defense. When we always talk about the defense,
yeah, we talked about defense, like with Will Harris, Tracy Walker. Yo, the coaches have to know, like, Will Harris is trash.
I know, but look how long it took them to fix that shit. That's what I'm just worried about. That it might take them to week 15 to say, man, running Adrian Peterson on second down is a bad idea. Let's go with Swift.
That is the shit that they would do too. They'll be like out of the playoff race. They're like, oh, let's get creative now.
They're like, all right, running on second down. I mean, first down got us 7 yards. Okay, running on second down back after that isn't working. So let's run Swift. Or
what
let's
happened to last else. Year's Bevel? Like, he's missing. Have you guys seen him?
No, I mean, there's just no creativity at all.
He's on a milk carton.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's missing. What happened to him, man? Like, for real, last year he was amazing. He caught these deep shots. Marvin Hall got creative with Hall.
He actually, I take that back.
Guys open.
I take that back. He shows up. He shows up when we need him to. He showed up. That's like that last drive to end the half. He showed up there. That was Bevel.
I mean, he had no other choice to pass the ball.
Yeah, he had no other choice.
He had no other choice.
Ball, you see what happens? Like, when you pass the ball, Stafford doesn't, I mean, he doesn't throw like 50 picks a game. He doesn't make mistakes. He's a veteran quarterback. He's a smart quarterback.
I mean, but to be fair, that team didn't play a lot of man. So
they don't.
Exactly. So they're finding the open guys. Stafford has a little trouble when our receivers are, when they're playing man against our receivers. And they're not creating as much separation as they're supposed to. Then Stafford's holding the ball longer than he's supposed to and doesn't want to release it. And then bad things happen.
I look at it like this. Stafford, you have the most beautiful, like, you could fit him in the closest windows. Like, he, as John Gruden alludes to, the turkey hole, right?
The turkey hole.
And these corners are not that great. And, you know, our receivers are physical as hell. Like, they're just going to outbeat them on a 50-50 ball 90% of the time, probably. Right, I mean, just look at when they threw up to Galladay.
They threw a fade route on their 20-yard line.
Yeah, it was on either AJ Terrell or Kendall Sheffield.
I'm gonna throw it up there and just here, just get the first down, Galladay. Just get the first down.
Like, their best corner is AJ Terrell, and like, AJ Terrell's a nice corner and all, but like, come on now.
He played well. I mean, he played well for.
He's good. I'm just saying, he throw a 50-50 ball off to Galladay.
He's not good enough. He's not good enough to cover Galladay, but he played his best.
Or throw a 50-50 ball to Marvin Jones. I mean, those guys, I like to say 9 out of 10 times they're going to come down with it.
Yeah. I mean, if this continues, I don't know. We're going to be behind in games.
Yeah.
Because this is run, pass shit. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. I'm not sure who's telling them to do it, who's forcing it. I'm not sure if it's Bevel. I'm not sure if it's Patricia, who's saying, look, we need to establish this run game. I don't give a damn if we get 2 yards here. We're going to run the ball. I'm not sure who's drilling that to them.
Yeah.
But
you guys remember last year and the year before Seattle used to be a run-first team?
Yeah,
I mean, Seattle used to be. Well, I mean, they had Marshawn Lynch every year.
No, I'm saying like just last year in general.
I think every year before, besides this year, they
did. Yeah, and then look at this year. Look at Russell Wilson. He's cooking. They're becoming a pass first team. They're passing to setting up their run. They're not running to set up their pass.
But they have a track field over there, bro. They have DK Metcalf. They have
Tyler Lockett.
These guys. Play man against them. See what happens.
I'm just saying, though. I mean, like in general, though, the run pass shit. That's just kind of like
the thing
I hate second and long runs too. I hate those with a passion, and we do those every week, bro. Every single week.
Yeah, I mean, second and long could happen. I mean, third and long could happen. It could happen even if you pass the ball. Two incompletions. You have third and long
for sure. Speaking of incomplete pass or something incomplete, like that, yeah.
You have I want to see like a screen or like jet sweeps to like Jamal Agnew, Marvin Hall. You should speedsters a little more, you know.
Please do. Disney, I haven't seen Jamal Agnew catch a pass in the field. Is he what is he wide receiver still?
He had like the same role as he did like when he was on defense still.
I thought we were going to see some shit from Jamal Agnew this year. Like, oh, he's going to be a receiver. So I'm expecting shit like, oh, he's going to catch passes downfield. He's about to bomb people. He's about to catch. He's about to go on these hitch routes and then make one guy miss and then go 60 yards. I mean, this is what I was expecting from Jamal Agnew.
He's just getting his little touch passes.
What is this? Like, all I see Jamal Agnew do on the field is this, he's either a decoy or he might get a screen.
He's just running around having fun.
Like yesterday they called a screen to Amendola. Instead, call that to Agnew or call that to Hall. Call it to the faster, quicker, shiftier dudes, you know?
I can't even imagine Marvin Hall catching a screen pass. I'm just used to this guy catching 40-yard passes or
more. Yeah, so Marvin Hall had 12 snaps on offense, and then Jamal Agnew had 0?
He had a lot. He had a lot.
Agnew had
13.
I'm sorry. Agnew had 13 and Hall had 13? 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is he there for? Like, is he there to make plays? To make big plays? Like,
they're waiting for week 17, man. That's what they always do.
Use them in space. You know, those shiftier dudes, use them in space. Like, give them a screen pass. Let them do the work. Give them a short pass block and let them do the work. Let them, like, take it to the house. Let them miss the guys.
We'll see a week 17. I guarantee you. Week 17, we always see some very nice creative play. And we're like, what happened to this all year? Like, you remember the David Blau play last year to Dola?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not as asking for that every week, obviously, because, you know, you just don't do that every week. But, like, why not just pull that out one play? Like, you know how sweet that would be?
Or the Prater pass?
Yeah, like, it's always week 17. We always pull something exotic.
No, but they just gotta play better, man. I think this is the thing right now. I think our defense is fixed. I mean, we saw two weeks consistency. I'm convinced that their defense is fixed. Unless proven otherwise, unless a team comes in there and runs down their throat, and I'm like, oh fuck.
I wouldn't say fixed yet because I'm gonna wait until next week. Next week is a challenge, right? I mean,
week was a challenge.
This week was a challenge. So yeah, I mean, it's just. Keep rolling.
We played two solid running backs just now.
Yeah.
And we held them to absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're playing you have a different animal though, in Indy. You have their offensive line, they're just smallers.
They are
I don't know if you guys saw James Robinson, man. He had a nice bounce back game yesterday.
I mean, I'm telling you, our defense feels like it's going the direction we thought.
I'll say it's going in the right direction. It's going in the right direction.
It's gelling together.
You can see guys are trusting each other more. They're making tackles better. First week, we had a ton of missed tackles.
They're playing like a team. They're playing complete, you know? So kudos to those guys. If we have them playing like they're playing right now all year, we just need this offense to click, man.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I'm more confident in the offense clicking. I think, like, that the defense, I had, like, almost zero confidence in this big thing and Patricia's scheme. Like, that's why I had zero optimism, like, going forward. I saw this defense. I'm like, dude, I think the offense is solid. I think it can get through. I know it'll get better, but whatever. The defense has just always been a huge concern for me. But, I mean, it's gelled together since the bye week.
So, tell you have 2-3 guys that can mess up an entire defense. They can destroy it, make it look awful. 2-3 guys could do that. Yeah. Because 2-3 guys are doing their job, and the whole defense looks destroyed.
And those 2-3 guys got their snaps limited.
They got their snaps limited, and now they're getting guys.
One has improved a lot, Jeff Okuda.
Yeah, Jeff Okuda, yeah, I'm telling you.
Because he was one of those guys.
He was.
Believe it or not.
And then you get your nickel back probably this week. Justin Coleman, have Roberts be the backup.
Yeah, that means we have a chance to be even better. So that's even more positive news, man.
We'll get into that when we get into the preview.
Yeah.
That's even more positive news. We just need this offensive click, man. Bevel, if you're listening, Bevel, hear me out. Bevel, don't screw this up because we have a solid team, man.
We loved you last year. What happened, Bevel?
Yeah, man. We liked you last year, man. What?
I don't know what Daryl's doing. But we obviously know Udlin and Patricia listen because they fix whatever we say on defense. But on offense, they obviously haven't done it yet.
Well, if they're listening, then somebody just give him the message like, shit. I know you love AP. I know, you know, you had him his rookie year. You love that guy. You guys are boys. I get it. But sometimes you need to look your boy in the face and say, look, man, this shit is not working, my guy. You got to tell him, like, look, man, this is not working, man. We're going to roll with the young guy.
Preach. Yeah, either two SEC guys, you know, Auburn kid, Georgia kid, give him the ball. Carry on. I mean, look, carry on. Like, he's shown flashes this year.
Carry on. I have the utmost respect for that guy.
Dude is the best, probably pass blocker.
He's having fun right now. He's not carrying the ball, but like, he's the ultimate
team player.
He's taking this role on like a champ.
He's the ultimate team player.
Right.
The ultimate team player. Imagine being a high pick like he is.
Yeah,
a second round pick, and they tell you like, look, my guy, you're not gonna run the ball no more. Yeah. We're just gonna use you to protect Stafford. You're pretty much an extended lineman.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just to go on. I mean, it's adding up a little bit now. You know, the knees I think are just not there, and I mean, it's sad, but we might just never get the Kerryon Johnson that we saw in 2018 or in college, like. I don't want to say that, but
man, I hope not, man. Look, I hope he bounces back, man.
I mean, I do too, but like the knee issue, he still has the brace on.
He does.
He's missed significant time both of his 2 years. I mean, he might just not be the guy he was when he was drafted. And it's just.
I mean, could he be worse than AP breaking tackles?
I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe he's just not that guy anymore. Maybe he just, you know, can't. You know, I don't know.
I'm just saying, if you draft a guy in the second and you trade up for him, I get he might be a little injured, a little dinged up or whatever, but you invested a lot into this guy. He has to play.
Yeah, I get
it's
it.
Like, second round, that's tough to demolish his role like that.
Yeah,
like,
100%. I mean, you look at what they did in the offseason. You know, they got Swift in the second round, which was even a higher pick than Kerryon. So, you know, that was a bit weird because, you know, we thought Kerryon was the guy and they go out and grab Swift. And then, you know, a week before the season, they're like, a veteran's on the market. Let's go get Adrian Peterson. And Adrian Peterson, his whole career, doesn't matter the age, has always had a big workload, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think a big thing to that was Bo Scarborough being on too.
That too. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, they obviously, there was something. I mean, because they saw this in April.
Fucking Bevel, man.
I don't know.
Fucking Bevel, man. That dude loves Adrian Peterson. I mean, guarantee you he sleeps with, like, I guarantee he goes to his room and, like, there's an Adrian Peterson poster, like, near his bed. I guarantee you. That is some weird shit, bro. I guarantee you it's, like, an AP poster, like right next to his bed. Like, I guarantee you. Like, he loves AP.
Yeah. I mean he's a first-ball Hall of Famer.
He is. I mean, I'm not knocking the man's career, but my guy, he like it's time. Not time to hang it up because you still have a lot to prove to this. Like you have a lot to. He can still play.
I think he's still productive. He's really still
productive.
I still like him on the team.
He can't run outside. He's a liability pass protecting. I mean,
you look at Pro Football Focus. I don't always agree with him, but he's set 55 out of 55 ranked running back right now.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, just I think it's time to lower his attempts.
I think running backs' careers die here. LeGarrette Blount's died here. C.J. Anderson had died here. It looked like AP's about to die.
I don't think LeGarrette Blount's career was alive when it came here.
I'm just saying, every time they rolled in here, veteran running back, for whatever reason, they do this every year. Literally, they do this every year. They run the veteran guys. We're like, yo, give it to Kerryon. Give it to Kerryon. Or give it to Swift now. We always say give it to the younger guy. Every year they do this, and then they realize it, and then they do it when they finally realize it.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought last week was a nice enough signal to say Swift is the guy, but I guess it wasn't.
I mean, after 100 yards, he had 12, 13, 14 carries? When he had 100 yards? 14 carries, 100 yards. I mean, shit, that should be the signal that, hey, we should give this guy more carries.
In hindsight, he actually did have more, you know, snaps and carries than Adrian Peterson, but yeah.
Did he?
I know he had more snaps. I don't know about carries.
He didn't have more carries. No,
he didn't have. He didn't have more carries than Adrian Peterson.
But he had more snaps.
And also, it's hard to get going when you're always like rotating. Like you could tell Swift when he first got in, he was going, and then like once they started rotating him and whatever, his numbers kind of like went down. Like don't just roll with the hot hand. Don't like bring guys in, bring them out. It's kind of like
I wish our offense ruled like that.
It takes the momentum out of the like Kyle Shanahan. He rolls with the hot running back. Whoever's hot. He's going to feed him and feed him and feed him and feed him and feed him. Sometimes it's Mostert. Sometimes it's McKinnon.
He did it again yesterday.
It's Coleman.
Yeah. No, dude, he had another back yesterday. Jeff Wilson Jr.
Sometimes it's Jeff Wilson. I know they're injured right now.
Dude, where is San Francisco?
Who the hell is Jeff Wilson?
Where is San Francisco finding these backs out of their ass?
I don't know.
They have like six of them on their team that always succeed every time they're on the field.
Genius. He has a really good running scheme. His scheme is amazing. But, I mean, yeah.
He gets it from his dad. His dad was the same way.
Yeah, Mike.
I'm his sure dad, Mike, his dad was the same way. Because in Denver, when he was a coach at Denver, they used to get backs every other year, and they'll be like 12, 13, 1400 yard rushers. They had Terrell Davis. He led the league in rushing. Like 2 years later, I was like, oh, contract, oh, go move on, go get another guy.
Yeah,
12, 13, 1400 yard rusher back to back. Clint Portis. You want to go? Oh, let's get him out of here. Oh, another guy. 12, 13, 1400 yards.
It's so crazy to me. And they almost did it this year again with Mostert. Like that was like that would have been Kyle's like first move basically, like getting rid of like a so and so veteran, I guess you could say. But
yeah, man.
I think we should get into the ball of the week and oopsie doopsie and then
let's go.
And we got voicemails. So
we have voicemails.
All right. So Beer, who's the ball of the week?
I got two of them. So I'm kind of do like offense and defense. Offensively, it's Stafford. I mean, we saw that last drive. I don't need to say much. He was spectacular. And then you take away the drops and you take away the spike. Stafford was almost perfect. Like the spike ball counts as incompletion. The drops, obviously, count as incompletion. You take those away. I think he had like two incompletions or three without those. Then Romeo Okwara, man. Right? Two sacks. Setting the edge well. This guy is just been good, so I got to give it to him too. Yeah, and the entire defensive line, bro. What the hell? The entire D-line balled out. Jashaun Hand had a big game. John Pennicini, Danny Shelton.
Come on,
Trey Flowers.
Can my guy Patricia get on the ball of the week, man?
Sure, to hell with it.
Oh my, let's go.
The only thing I'll take away from him is that last drive on defense. That's the only thing.
That drive was pretty disgusting. Yeah, you can take it back. Because of that drive, he doesn't deserve it. Yeah, you can take it back.
All right, fine. I'll take it back. Whatever.
I don't know.
But all jokes aside, bro. I wanted to bring something up, like not baller of the week wise. It just came to mind. Trey Flowers is our best defensive coverage. He's our best coverage guy.
You talk about from the one play that he swapped.
The flexion.
It's a joke.
Oh, you had me think for a second. Like, wait a minute, what?
He's been in coverage a couple of times. He has two PBUs already. Last week he had one, and this week he had one.
Oh shit, that's right.
And he had a
yeah.
He's just long ass arm for a reason. That's what's up, man.
Best DB on the team, right? No, I'm kidding.
That's why, you know, and remember that play when he had him, when we had him deep, and you're like, what is he doing? Why is Trey Flowers?
That was really stupid, though. He was like, he was like on the, you know, he was playing. Like,
dude, that's like in Madden when you're like on your defensive end still, and you're like shit, I'm not my linebacker.
That was really dumb.
He was playing linebacker that play. He was playing linebacker, and dude, they're running a cover four. It was like quarters, pretty much, where the cover four and everybody's out. So he was deep.
Dude, I've done that in Madden 18. I was on Ziggy Ansah one time, and I was supposed to get on a linebacker, and I was on Ziggy Ansah. I went into coverage. I got a pick with Ziggy Ansah. It was wild.
I do that. You know, I do that a lot sometimes, because when I'm playing Madden, like I do a lot of adjustments on defense. Yeah. Like I'm that guy that's like clicking, resetting guys around, and if they call hike too quick, and there's a guy open. And if I'm on the D line, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta pick him up. So I'll leave my DN position, and I'll try to cover the receiver with my DN.
You're one of those motherfuckers who puts chew clock probably all game too.
But that does what?
You put chew clock all game, just kill the clock and run the ball.
No, I don't really do that all the time. I'll do that if I'm winning and there's a close game, and the person is really good.
That's smart. No, yeah. I'm saying people will put chew clock from the start of the game and just eat the clock and
that's boring.
The whole percent. No, it's so boring. That's boring.
No, and then when people see you play Madden, you probably think that, oh, Malcolm just runs the ball. No, I do both.
Okay. All right.
I'm aggressive as hell when I play Madden. Tyler knows.
Yeah, Peter, I know. Yeah. So I beat you. What?
Hey, we're 1-1. Don't go crazy.
All right. Let's get into the oopsie doopsie of the week, and then we'll get into the voicemails.
Oh, boo-hoo! Let me play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
All right, I think my oopsie doopsie, I guess I got two of them, you could say. Number one is going to go to Daryl Bevel. I think we've already explained why it's Daryl Bevel. I mean, he just deserves it. He just hasn't been that guy this year on offense. I said Patricia almost lost the game, but Daryl Bevel put in that situation to almost lose that game, in my opinion. So Daryl Bevel almost cost us that game, as long as the whole coaching staff. But I just was not fond of the offensive game plan. I didn't like, you know, the we mentioned everything. I don't need to repeat it, but he is my oopsie doopsie of the week. And my second one, I'll give it to, if a Falcons fan is listening somehow, I mean, I'll give it to Todd Gurley, because I know you guys are saying he is the oopsie doopsie of the week. But he's our baller of the week, technically. But I'll be a little nice and say, for Falcons fans, he's the oopsie doopsie of the week. There's no need to explain it. He made a very stupid decision. I mean, he's a long-term pro at this point. You know, you can't do stuff like that, obviously. So, Todd Gurley and Daryl Bevel. So that's a weird duo, but those are my oopsie. And shout out to the Atlanta Field. I really enjoyed seeing that game. You know, it was a nice stadium. Just from
beautiful, beautiful stadium. I went to Atlanta last year. Was it last year? It was last year. And yeah, I drove by that stadium. Amazing.
Yeah, it looks
on
nice.
Outside. On the outside, it looks very amazing. Nice. And outside,
very nice on TV.
It's their first year playing in it, right?
No,
this is they played Detroit.
Oh, Detroit.
No, I'm saying Atlanta Stadium. Didn't they just build it? Isn't their first year?
This is a second or third year.
Second year. I know it's a new
third,
stadium.
Third year, I think.
Yeah, this is amazing. A new stadium, but it's very
amazing.
Nice.
Amazing stadium.
It's pretty dope. The turf was pretty. The turf was bad though in the beginning. Guys were like, I don't know. It was kind of bad, but I guess whatever.
All right, let's get into the voicemails. Mail
time. Cause some came in the mail today. These nuts. Got him. Got him.
Yup, you know what time it is, man. It's the voicemail time. You guys called. We have answers. Let's go into the very first voicemail. Voicemail.
Hey guys, Jeff again. Usually I call a little bit early in this, but I wanted to kind of let the emotion settle down after that really entertaining and thrilling game. One of the most thrilling I think we've seen in the Patricia Quinn era. I'll be honest, this team confuses me. On one hand, they play a game like this, and then you rewind the clock a few weeks, and then they play a Saints game. So this team is it's hard. It's really. I don't know what to think of this team. you know, one could say that they're benefiting from a weak schedule in Jacksonville and Atlanta, and an Atlanta team that I think they're not as bad as their record indicates. With the offense they have, I don't think they should be 1-6. But you know, the defense has really turned it around these last 2 weeks. Whether Patricia's finally made some adjustments and said, hey, you know what, maybe running man-to-man doesn't work. Maybe running man 90% of the time doesn't work, or maybe he's letting Unlin call it, make the calls. I mean, I know they said that was going to be the case before the season, but we all kind of know how that goes. So maybe Unlin actually is in charge of this defense, and maybe he's making adjustments. I don't know, or maybe they're benefiting from a weak schedule. I don't know, but the defense has really stepped up the last two games. Holding a really high-powered Atlanta offense that was averaging over 30 points a game to just 22, and held Todd Gurley to, I think it was a 2.7 average, if I'm not mistaken.
Woo!
Over 24 carries, 23 carries, something like that. You know, the defense really stepped up in this one. It's been a while since we've seen a defensive showdown in a Detroit game. Most of the time, they're shootouts. On the other side of the ball, The offense did all right. I think they're forcing the run a little bit much. I mean, I get it. They want to run the ball and they want to control the game and everything. But you know, I think they forced it a little bit too much this game. But you know, it worked out in the end. So overall, this is one of the more impressive games I think in the last 3 years. I was really nervous there at the end when they had a minute and 16 left on the clock and. Gurley started that run, and thank God he went in the end zone because it was about to be Green Bay all over again. Good win from the boys, and you know, maybe we'll take advantage of the week schedule. I don't know what to think of this team, but good win from the boys, and you know, nothing really to be negative about with this game. Game went pretty well all the way around for the most part, so. Good win, and we'll see what happens with Indianapolis next week. I think we can go 5.
Okay, I guess it cut off there.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff, man. I'm a bit confused as well. I just don't know what to think of this team yet. But like you said, you know, there's a lot of positives in the game. You know, you can't really talk down about the game because they did what they had to do. They won the game versus Atlanta, and you know. After the bye, they're 2-0. You got to give credit where credit's due. You know, if we could shit on the team, we got to give credit where credit's due. You know, we're fair. So, you know, I think that's fair. I'm in the same phase as you. I'm confused. I want to see, you know, how they respond. I said that after Arizona. How do they respond? Obviously, they didn't respond well. I said that after Jacksonville. How do they respond? They responded to a win. So, I'm going to keep that same message going. How do they respond to this game now? You played... A nail biter is, you know, really downplaying it, but a nail biter to the Atlanta Falcons. How do you respond to this? You're playing above 500 team now, so you don't have that win-loss record excuse anymore. I think I agree with you. I don't think the Falcons are – they don't play like a 1-6 team. But I'm confused, so let's see how this goes. I like this. I like this more than what I was already thinking of the team. So let's see how the season goes.
Yeah, I'm with Tyler, kind of. And, like, he basically said everything we said in the podcast, basically, like, forcing the run a little too much. I agree with Tyler. It's kind of like, just show me more, you know? Show me you could do it consistently. We've seen you do it. In fact, if you look at Patricia's record the past two seasons or whatever he's been here, he's always been 3-3.
He's always been 3-3.
Right now, they're 3-3, and, you know, it hasn't been good. They ended at 6-10, and then 3-13-1. Right? So show me more. Build off of these wins. You're on a two-game winning streak. Build off of it. Show me more. Play consistent. Play sound. So we'll see.
Yeah, let's go, man. And again, hey Jeff, I'm going to save you a seat too. I told my boys here that I'm going to save them a seat for the hype train after this Colts game. So yeah, after the Colts game, I think it's going to be pretty clear. And then you can jump right on board on the hype train, the Detroit Lions hype train.
Oh, if they beat the Colts, I think a lot of people will jump on the hype train. That's true.
Choo choo.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Let's go to the next voicemail. Voicemail.
Hey, guys. This is Ivan calling from the other side of the state here in Michigan, Grand Rapids. So, shout out to the 616 there. And first, I want to give you guys a big shout out. You guys have been doing great so far. Ever since I started listening to you guys, it's been doing great. Pierre, Tyler, Malcolm. Big shout out to you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. The consistency. what you guys been doing is it's totally great, and I'm loving everything. So, but yeah, the offense has been slacking. We noticed they're using the same plays. Like, I know I've been seeing Pierre's tweet on Twitter for sure. They're doing like run pass, and that's not cutting it out. It's so predictable, and it's getting so annoying. And it's for sure predictable when you know when they use their running backs all the time. So of course with Adrian Peterson and with Kerryon Johnson, it's like you know what they're gonna do, which is like irritating. So it's super predictable, and that kind of like messes everything up. But with Swift, we have that perfect situation this year, and the talent to actually win games. But this play calling is like killing us. I don't know what Bevel is doing, but it's like it's for sure frustrating. But hopefully, whatever. Well, I don't know what's gonna happen, but we need to get Bevel needs to get like his crap together for sure, and not besides him, Patricia, other coaches that kind of assist with the offense, but also the defense. We've kind of been seeing the same thing. It's been super scary. The big team's gone up, like Indianapolis Colts. But yeah, it's a lot of things. But it was for sure a nail biter at the end. Big dub, maybe for sure happy, but yeah, but they've been doing great, so thank God for the win. So cheers.
Cheers.
There it is.
I think that's a very good point. And I think this is a very fair point. I didn't mention this in the podcast, but let's say the Lions don't win this game. We're talking so much more badly about the team, the play calling at the end by the defense. We're talking about the offense, obviously. And we talked about that already. It's kind of like the Chicago Bears game a little bit. I say if Swift catches that ball, some people forget what happened actually in the game. You blew actually a 17-point lead, whatever. But you know, it just feels so much better when you win the game, and then you could just talk about it later and like how you could just adjust. But, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, we said it all. Bevel needs to adjust, and the offense needs to be better. But, you know, we came out with a dub, and at least we came out with a dub. Let's just not forget about it. Let's go back and adjust from it, but be happy about our win, obviously. Come back to Ford Field.
Oh, yeah, Pierre.
They basically are just saying what we said on the podcast. Ivan.
This is Ivan.
Ivan is basically just saying what we said on the show. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't have much to add, to be honest.
Yeah. And there you have it. All right, let's go to the next voicemail. And this guy sounds like he may be talking about me. Let's go. Voicemail.
Okay.
Man, y'all better not be jumping on your podcast being like, oh, look at us. We're winning now. We're beating, marching down the field at the end of the game. Man, you're beating the Falcons who just fired their coach and their GM. And you beat the Jaguars, who are an absolutely terrible team. Come on, man. Are we going to keep doing this? Are we just going to keep getting hopeful when the Lions win? Come on, man. Like, just clean house and do it the right way. We don't beat good teams. We beat bad teams. Sheesh.
All right. You know what? I'm going to take this. Okay. This is what I'm going to take, okay?
First of all, personal.
I did take that personal because now he's trying my marching down the field. And yeah, I am taking it personal. First of all, we beat the Arizona Cardinals. You know, I think they're a winning team right now, right?
5-2.
5-2, right? Yeah. So therefore, your logic of we didn't beat any good teams is a lie. All right. This year we did beat a good team. We beat the Arizona Cardinals. Now, as a fan, man, you're supposed to be happy. Cheer for your team. Be happy. Why are you so negative, man? Do you wake up mad? What is wrong with you, man? Like, do you just wake up like, oh, I hate the damn Lions? Like, come on, man. They won a game. Be happy, man. That's what fans do. They cheer for the team. They want to see the team win. No matter if it's, you know, with Patricia or without Patricia, you want to see your team win. And they won. So that's why we're happy. All right. Now, that's pretty much all I had to say. I just had to let that out.
I had something too. I want to add one thing.
Yeah, go for it.
If they lost, you would have called, be like, yo, the Lions lost. So they lost to a 1-5 team, whatever. They just fired the head coach GM. Like, if they lost, this guy would have thought, oh, we lost to the world. We lost to a 1-5 team or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I even tweeted this today. Like, you guys know me. Like, I'm the farthest from letting my emotions speak. Like, my Lions cool. I don't speak out of Kool-Aid. I don't. I speak how I see it. But it's okay to be happy when your team wins. Like,
exactly. That's what fans do.
That's the whole point. Like, why are you cheering for the team? Like, I understand you want change and, you know, you're not believing in the regime. And that's very fair because, like, I'm confused right now. And I ultimately don't – I'm not a believer in this regime still. I'm not going to lie. I still need to see more. Could it change? It could change. But as of right now, I'm with you. I'm not with this regime. And I understand why you want to rebuild and whatever. But it's okay to be okay – you know, to be happy. Let these guys prove us wrong. If they prove us wrong – all kudos to them, and that's so much better. I'd rather have Patricia succeed than him and Bob Quinn being out just because they put me through torture for the past 3 years. Like, I'd rather see them flip it around than them just being fired just because they haven't been able to do anything the last 2 years. So let's just hope these guys turn it around. They're playing their schedule, and that's it. I mean, if they collapse, they collapse. We'll talk about that towards the end of the year. But as of right now, it's okay to be happy.
I just don't get it. Like, you call yourself, if you're a fan of the team and I understand you want change, just like you said, I get it. But how are you gonna be mad that the fans are happy because we won?
No, it doesn't make sense.
I don't get it. Like,
why are you watching in the first place then? Like, if they lose, those guys
are the fans that want to see the team fail. Just so they could go around and say SOL. Yeah, SOL. Like, it's like they literally just want the team to fail, to flop in their face. Just so they can say SOL.
I mean, it's okay to be excited about your team.
It's okay to be excited about your team. Your team won. Look, listen, I'm going to basketball. I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
I'm a Knicks fan. And as much as the Knicks make me sick, trust me, like Pierre will tell you, they make me sick.
Me and Tyler tease him all the time. Malcolm is always depressed.
And I'm just like, yo, you know what? Like, I don't care about the draft. I don't care about nothing. Like, I'm so nonchalant about the Knicks right now. I'm so mad. But I'm the same dude that buys the NBA team pass and watch the Knicks play every single day when they're on TV. And if they win, I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know? It's okay to cheer for your team. It's okay. You know?
I even get the situations where you get mad about wins. Like, okay, if it's a week 17 game and you want a draft pick like last year, if we beat the Packers last year, I think I was more happy about the loss than the win. There's different situations, but when it's week 8 of the season or week 7 in the NFL
and you're still in. I mean,
and you're 2-3 and you're getting mad about wins. I'm like, come on now. If you're if you're the Falcons, I guess, like, and you won that game, I could see maybe why you're mad, because, you know, you're at that point, you already fired your coach, you just want the season to be over with, you want a good draft pick. That's different.
Yeah.
As of right now, you still have your guys.
Favorable schedule. The whole season's ahead of us. I mean, who knows what could happen, man? I seen the Arizona Cardinals in the same exact situation. And what year was that, Tyler? Because I know you know the years better than me.
Which one? The Cardinals?
Cardinals.
When they flipped the round.
They went 9-7, went to Super Bowl.
The Giants, you mean?
No, Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals. When they played the Saints.
Oh, when they played the Pittsburgh Steelers?
The Pittsburgh Steelers. That was in 2007. 7, 9.
It was 10. 10 or 10? 9. 10 or no, 9. 10 was Packers Steelers. 9 was Cardinals.
Cardinals. So, okay. Yeah. So, yes. Cardinals were known to be mediocrity. Trust me. They were horrible. And just play it out. See what happens. So, your team gets hot. Team gets hot. So we'll see what happens, man. Let's go to the next voicemail.
What's up, boys? Thank you for the amazing podcast. You guys keep me entertained at work all the time.
Woo!
That was a great win by the boys.
Woo!
Today. Todd Gurley's a fool for trying to go down, but hey, we're just going to move past that one. What I want to see is us either commit to the season or don't. So that falls on Bob Quinn this week. Either go trade for somebody who can get to the goddamn quarterback or just start having a fire sale. And that starts with Marvin Jones, Kerryon Johnson, and whoever in the hell else you want. It's like three guys who I wouldn't trade, and that's Hawk, Okuda, and probably Swift. Everybody else probably. Is well, probably Taylor Decker too. Probably. But other than that, yeah. Thanks for the amazing podcast, guys. See
you. I'm gonna say stay tuned because we actually had a plan to do a bonus podcast on the trade deadline. So I don't want to spoil anything. Let's save it for the next episode.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the deadline shortly. It should be out later in this week.
So,
but I do want to touch up on that because he left some guys I like.
I think he was just thinking in hindsight, like, you know, he's thinking like the main like two draft picks. I don't think he was thinking like it. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if he's thinking about it, he's like, oh shoot, I forgot Frank Ragnow. I forgot this guy. Or, I don't think he was thinking like Amani Awarie, like, or Tracy Walker. Like, I don't think he was thinking in depth. I think he was thinking of like star wise. He thinks Hawk and I think Akuda gonna be.
I'll say this, I know that Kerryon Johnson's role, it is what it is right now. But I think he's a very important piece of the team right now.
Yeah, we'll get into it when we do our deadline podcast. I feel like that's gonna be a discussion.
Yeah,
I hope they don't trade him because I think he's a really big piece right now.
Yeah, spoiler, I don't think there's any value on honestly there.
Okay,
but we'll see.
I think we have one more, and this is very 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 short. Let's go to the very last voicemail, and I want to thank you guys for the support and all you guys that called in and left the voicemails, and it's great to hear from the fans and listeners. We enjoy it. Let's keep these calls rolling, man. Keep these calls coming. We will play these every single Monday and hear your thoughts, whether it's a win or loss. So, I mean, we want to hear you guys, whether it's you guys venting, whether it's you guys just, you know, you guys cheering and happy. The direction. Yeah, it's a therapy session. I mean, we're here. We're all ears. And yeah, we're playing all voicemails. So we'll keep it rolling. The very last voicemail. Voicemail.
So, boys, we'll say great win today.
And that is it. That's all he wanted to say is great win, and it could be as short and simple as that. I mean, that's what it's all about. Just getting your voice out there. We want to hear it.
Yeah.
And that's it for the voicemails.
Yep. And I just want to say something. All those kind of words that were said about us, you people said it just on the voicemails, said entertaining. We keep them going through work. That's what's awesome. That's what drives us, man. Entertaining you guys, giving you guys the best information, breaking down games like I don't think anyone ever has. We go into depth into the guys. It's just fun to do it. It's hard to do. I'm not going to lie. It's not easy, but it's fun to do it. We're glad you guys enjoy it. And we appreciate all the support. We really do. Like, thank you very much.
Yep. The only thing we could ask for is just leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
That was a nice promotion, man. That was big time radio stuff right there. Big time podcast.
That was nice, man.
Big time, man.
There you go, Tyler. And with that, I am out. Peace.
Give me a contract, man. All right, guys, I'm out. Peace. Let's go. Let's leave off on four. We're down the field.
Oh wait, yeah, I almost forgot. It's Victory Monday, so we gotta end the podcast off with some. We gotta forward down the field. Let's go. Let's hit the music. Let's forward down the field.
Back at Ford Field this Sunday.
Woo!
All right, peace.